I'm going to challenge myself here with our good friend Zach Meisel from The Athletic, who is one of the great friends of the program. I am going to challenge myself. We are going to have an entire 15-minute conversation with Zach where I will not talk about the payroll or ownership. It is not going to come up. We are strictly staying on the field. Zach, you have to hold me accountable, okay? Hold me accountable on this, buddy.
Hey, so I wanted to talk about what you think the payroll might be next year. And, just like the window of contention. And
morning, buddy.
If Francisco Lindor is going to return today, how do we not talk about enjoy him?
We're going to do it. We're going to do it really hard, okay? We're going to try really hard to do this, okay?
All right, whatever you say.
All right. We'll keep each other accountable here. So let's start off with what you just brought up. So is that the plan, Zach? Are they going to bring back Francisco Lindor today? Is that going to get announced, and then there's going to be a parade and joy?
You know, I think so. I'm not 100% sure. I know they're going to meet later this morning and hammer out final details. I don't know how the rainout plays into this. Like, they can get creative here because I'm assuming they don't want him playing both games of a doubleheader anyway. So maybe they activate him for game two and you get an extra player for a doubleheader. So they could get creative or weird with this. I think he's coming back. We all thought the plan was if he's going back up to Cleveland to meet with the doctors, and it was probably going to be that he's ready to go. And then he releases a Players Tribune article saying he's back. So that was kind of like, okay, I guess this is the confirmation I was waiting for. I'm not sure.
You're right. We're in this weird, I'll tell you, in media in general, and I know you and I are like the only two who care about this conversation, but like, we're just in this weird middle ground now where these guys are just breaking news for themselves and we're all looking around going, okay, I mean, I guess this is the truth. I guess this is where we are. And I guess Francisco Lindor's back in Cleveland. So yay, our shortstop's back.
Yeah, it was weird because I don't know that he had met yet with the doctors before that was released. So it was odd. And I don't know if that was just to say like, all right, he's getting close and he's back to himself, or it was like, hey, I'm being activated today. And it wasn't really clear in the article. So I think they'll meet and they'll figure something out. But the thing with him is it's not so much like, it's just that he missed spring training. So it's the thing that he needs to get back that he may have already or may not is timing. It's in spring training, you face pitchers, you get 30, 40 at bats and, you're ready to go. He's only had a few games here in AAA and some games on some backfields in Arizona. It's hard to get your timing down, but he's also, he's had like 5 or 6 hits in these 3 games in Columbus, and he had 2 home runs. And it's like, all right, well, you might as well, if timing is the last thing, and it looks like you've got some good timing already, you can just face major league pitching. I know a lot of people looked at the video and saw, okay, he's not running around the bases quite like we hope. I asked about that. They said, he's wearing like an air cast thing, and that's probably playing into it. So it's, if he's healthy, if the ankle is not bothering him at all, I think it's their thought is, well, why not get your timing down against major league pitching instead of minor league pitching?
It's a smart point. I mean, you may as well use the production in that stuff because, let's face it. By the way, Zach Meisel of The Athletic joining us in the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. And Zach, I mean, it makes sense. Like, wouldn't you rather face major league pitching and get used to the timing and the top tier breaking balls and all of that stuff than see AAA pitching and see where it takes you from there? I mean, put it this way, it can't really get worse when it comes to offensive production. So why not? I'm with you, man.
Yeah, it's just you don't want to rush him back if he's still feeling it. But I think if the pain is 100% gone, if he wakes up and doesn't even remember that he has an ankle injury, then yeah. I mean, let him. He's a good enough player to figure things out up here. And then maybe he gets off to a slow start. But like you said, what are your alternatives here?
Yeah.
Like Max Moroff and Mike Freeman. And I think you would take a Francisco Lindor who has not seen major league pitching in 6 months over either of those guys.
That's true. You're 100% right. Because with Francisco Lindor, I don't need a bucket of Tums to get through watching them play. So we've got that going for us, which is nice. So let's turn to the pitching staff side of this. So Carlos Carrasco, he kind of had a couple rocky starts, came out in his last start, and just completely lit the world on fire. Is he back? Did he look like the Carlos Carrasco that you remember, or are there still some things that need to be worked on?
Yeah, he says it was a mechanical thing that allowed him to – this is going to sound so ridiculous, but it's like it allowed him to give maximum effort. And I kept asking him after the game the other day, I'm like, why did you need a mechanical fix to do this? Like, why couldn't you just throw with conviction all the time? But if you looked at those starts where he struggled, he was throwing 91, you know, a lot of stuff was left in the middle of the plate. And it was really just a matter of like, are you trying? Are you, because this was the thing, you know, when he went to the bullpen a few years ago and then came back into the rotation, and, you know, a lot of it was they wanted him to just throw as if he was a reliever and just leave it all out there. And, you know, that's how he started throwing 96, 97. And he just kept that. He throws from the stretch as if there's guys on base, and he warms up as if he's a reliever. So it's interesting. I don't know if he just like somehow slipped back into his old mindset for a couple starts or what, but they said they found something mechanical that now when he pitched the other day, it was like he was mean again. He wanted to throw hard. So I don't know if that means he'll be perfect the rest of the season, but I guess, you know, we all wanted to panic about Carrasco and Kluber, and you know, we know this rotation has to be dominant for this team to make up maybe for its lack of offense, and at least Carrasco has answered some questions here where it's like, okay, he can still throw 94, he can still have a really good outing against a really good lineup, and so maybe Kluber could do the same.
That's what I'm hoping for, is that Kluber has the same, you know, max effort change that needs to take place, because it clearly worked for one of them. He looked like the guy he was, and you know, I'm a nerd enough. I've been on Baseball Savant, the black hole of baseball, enough to know that, I mean, everything was rising for Carrasco, and it was just all in the middle, and Corey Kluber's kind of got the same problem. He's not painting the corners. He's not doing that stuff. Is Corey Kluber in the same boat? Is it just a small mechanical flaw that we should just take a deep breath and go, it's April, it's Kluber, he'll be fine?
That's what he says. The thing that worries me is with Carrasco, he was leaving everything in the middle of the plate, and it was getting hammered. With Kluber, it's a guy who is – doesn't necessarily need to throw hard, and a guy who has pinpoint command, and that's why he's been a perennial Cy Young contender, who is just missing with every pitch. I mean, to see him walk two guys with the bases loaded in one inning was like seeing Halley's Comet. Like, he walked five. It was a career high. It was the first time in 5 years he's walked more than he struck out in an outing. Like, just so uncharacteristic. And against a team that had the worst walk rate in the league. So it makes you scratch your head. It makes you wonder, you know, okay, first of all, the guy's smart and he's talented and he knows what to look for. And he says he needs to make some mechanical tweaks that he's identified. I think you have to trust him at this point. And he seems like the type of pitcher who, even if he's only throwing 91, 92 now instead of 93 or 94, still has the stuff and the command to be able to be effective. It's just he doesn't have the same margin of error maybe that he used to when he was throwing harder. And so maybe he's not a Cy Young finalist this year, but can still be a pretty effective pitcher. But you know, you need to make sure that he's going to be effective most times out, and that these couple starts here have been aberrations instead of stuff that you might see regularly, because they need, especially with Clevinger out, they need those four guys in the rotation right now to all be really good almost every time out. And, you know, it seems like you could trust Bauer. It seems like, strangely, you could trust Bieber as much as anybody. And, you know, it's weird that Carrasco and Kluber are the two guys who you're not completely confident right now when they go out there.
It's a weird role reversal, man. Zach Meisel, The Athletic, joining us on the North Umpster Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. that's what's so fascinating, too, is the whole Bieber thing. I mean, he is really just in the beginning of the season has just taken off. And, I mean, we'd heard for a long time that this was, you know, Terry Francona's favorite guy. He wanted the ball every five days, and he wanted to go as long as he could, and the guy could throw his tail off. And that's exactly what we've been seeing. He's a strike-throwing machine. That changeup is everything that has been geared up to be. Has he been that impressive to you as well, or is it just me being a layman?
No, the start the other night was that left a lasting impact in my mind because he did not have good command, and he is all about, that's all he's about. I mean, he walked three for the second time in his career. He walked two in one inning, and to still be able to wind up with a really good start, pitched into the seventh inning against a really good lineup, like, that tells you, okay, well, that was on a bad day. What's going to happen on a good day? Like that, what you saw the other night was him when he doesn't have his good stuff, doesn't have his good command, and he's still able to put forth that kind of effort. Like, that tells me everything I need to know about a starting pitcher is, can you gut through a bad outing and still turn it into something positive? Because we know these guys at any given time can go seven innings, strike out 12, give up one run. We've seen them do that. But for Bieber to do that on a night when he doesn't have good stuff, it just speaks volumes. And the kid's still so young and hasn't even been in the majors for a full year. He's able to work with Trevor Bauer and identify things to kind of fix him mid-start. Like, it's huge. And it's, you know, it reinforces why they were not that they were like comfortable and were like, hey, we really want to trade Kluber and Bauer and like we're going to be completely okay. But I think it gave them a little bit of relief in the sense that, you know, if we do trade one of these guys over the offseason, we really believe in Bieber. And we think that, you know, there might be some growing pains, but in the long run, you know, it would make sense if we traded one of those starters because they think Bieber can be. I mean, you look at the future of this rotation, like, yeah, Bauer signed through next year, Kluber signed through the year after that, but you have Clevinger, Carrasco, and Bieber long term, and that's still a really good foundation to have moving forward.
It's a great place to be. All right, so speaking of foundation, are we starting to turn the corner on the foundation that is Jose Ramirez? Is it starting to look better? Because we were starting to read a little bit, I think it was out of your piece, I was reading it on The Athletic, which you can always read Zach there, he's excellent. But that Ty Van Berkley has been working with him, he's making better contact, better appearances. Is this all what's happening? Is this going to turn around soon? Can we at least hope and pray that that's the case?
I think so. I think he had some really good games in Seattle. I know he hit the home run. He drew some walks. He had two walks going into that series, and then he walked twice, and he was like, one of them was like on eight pitches. And, you know, I think he got to a point where really early in the season, I think the Minnesota series threw him off where they were throwing four outfielders at him. They had the infield all on one side of the diamond, and, you know, he tried to bunt a few times. It didn't work. He stopped trying to pull the ball because, you know, he didn't want to just hit into an out every time. And he was just doing things that weren't what made him such a good hitter in the first place. And then I think he had some bad luck after that. And I think he started chasing and striking out more. And he hit, I think, like three balls to the wall in Seattle that were just flyouts, but like he struck them really well. I think he's going to be okay. I mean, awesome. I think we're all waiting for him to catch fire because we've seen him go on those stretches where he has like four consecutive three-hit games and he's just a complete monster at the plate. And the thing is, when he gets into that sort of rhythm, pitchers pitch around him, and that's why his walk rate last year was Carlos Santana-esque. And so I think, you know, it's like a snowball rolling downhill. Like once he becomes more effective at the plate and he starts being himself again, well, then they can't shift like crazy against you. And right. Then they start pitching around you a little more. So you walk more. And so then when you do get a strike, you crush it. So that kind of thing where he just needs to get a few hits and I think he'll get rolling. So I'm not too worried about him. I'm interested to see what the lineup looks like, the order of it when Lindor returns and you've got Santana and Leonis Martin still hitting really well. So that's going to be interesting to see how Terry Francona designs that. But yeah, I'm not too worried yet. If this persists for another 10 days, maybe I think then I'd hit the panic button. I think he's starting to look more like himself.
It kind of seems that way, too. So a guy who definitely looks, well, better than himself is Carlos Santana. And not only that, but your piece that you wrote on him in The Athletic about his, you know, becoming a citizen and that stuff was really cool. How cool was it to be in that room when he was, you know, made a citizen of the U.S. and how much it meant to him?
Yeah, it was awesome. He was one of 84 people to become citizens yesterday. And, I mean, we're talking from, like, 30 different countries, maybe. And every continent. And so not only was it cool to see Santana, a guy who spent his nights during spring training studying for the test, and, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into it. They're not easy questions. Like, Santana and Terry Francona both answered 10 questions a couple of weeks ago that were on the test, and Santana got 9 out of 10 right. Francona got 7. I think I could have gotten 4. So I think it's cool when you see how much it means to these people. And to see, I mean, Santana's wife and kids are from here. They're citizens. So it was a matter of he didn't want to be the only one in the household who wasn't. And so it's cool. And Hanley Ramirez, he did the same thing. He's a citizen now. We saw Carlos Carrasco a couple of years after he became a citizen, and he's wearing like an Uncle Sam costume on the team plane. So, you know, it's cool to see how much it means to them and to see his whole family there yesterday and to see him smiling as he's holding up his certificate. You know, it reminds you sometimes things are bigger than baseball and sports. And when we get really frustrated about Carlos Santana, you know, going in a slump in May and striking out a bunch with the bases loaded, like, I think you can remind yourself, you know, there are sometimes more important things in life than his batting average.
Yeah. And it's a great way to look at life. Well, and other things too. We did it. I have us at 16 minutes. We did not mention one thing that was about things that didn't take place on the field besides a citizenship test. So, well done, man.
Do you want to talk about whether they'll have flexibility at the trade deadline to add some salary? Or
Maybe the next time we talk. I don't know. It kind of hurt to go this long. I'm not going to lie to you. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. He's Zach Meisel from The Athletic. Thank you, my friend.
You got it, buddy.
All right, Zach Meisel from The Athletic. You can read him there. He's the Indians beat reporter, and he joined us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. 15 minutes. Not one negative thing. I think we did well. When we come back, we will dive into Carlos Sanchez.